This is Wells Tech, a show that explores the intersection of technology and ministry. Wells Tech is a part of the Streams Media Network, sponsored by Wells, the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Your show hosts are Martin Spriggs and Sally Draper. Join the conversation at wellstech.wells.net.
Welcome to Wells Tech. This is episode 394 for May 26, 2015. And we're live on set at the CMM, and at my side is the Minnesotan, Sally Draper. Crossed the border, crossed the river.
We did, made it through all the road construction, and yeah, happy to be here. Happy to be at the beautiful Center for Mission and Ministry and in the lovely new recording studio that you have here. What a treat.
Yep. What brings you to Minnesota, or to Wisconsin from Minnesota, other than the podcast?
Yeah. Great opportunity to do some training here at the CMM. We're bringing together all our Christian giving counselors, so I'm going to be meeting with them tomorrow, and then doing other training for people here in the building. So,
and you got a chance to meet some new people in the CMM that had kind of slipped in by.
Yeah,
since you're not here that often, right?
Yeah, it's been since 2007, I think.
Yeah, I'm getting a little sense of a Minnesotan accent.
Oh, is that right? My dad would not be happy, so I hope that isn't the case.
That's a total lie.
I won't
lie.
Say you betcha. I'll stop short of that. So.
All right. Well, we thought we'd take the opportunity to kind of give folks a little bit of a view of what we've done here, and it's not the Taj Mahal. It's not Channel 6 or 2 or 3 or any of those other channels, but you know, we call it home, and we're going to start in the near future doing some of our Wells Tech podcasts from here. And we also wanted maybe to kind of walk people through some of the opportunities that schools might have available to them through some of the similar equipment, through some of the software tools that we have, and also some of the services that are available. People that are watching this stream are probably noticing that this is not a Google Hangout, that this is something called Livestream, and a tool that we use for our call services and other events, kind of a full-fledged streaming service, so a little bit different.
Right. We're totally used to the Google Hangout scenario, and I guess it feels like Channel 6 to me, Martin. I don't know. We've got lights and cameras all different directions, and someone over here working the board for us. Lots of magic going on here.
So let's show a few pictures. We can do that. We don't have a camera to swing around, but we can show you a few pictures of the studio itself. There's your lovely hosts, those of you that are watching, those of you that are listening, you're going to actually have to tune in to see the studio, of course. But we've done something a little bit different. We don't have kind of an enclosed room, but it's kind of out in the open. And we did that on purpose. We had some options for where to put it. We decided that kind of this natural, in the flow of things, look and feel was kind of a nice look. And I think it's working. So you may see people walk past and, you know, those kinds of things, which is kind of cool. So let's see if I can go to the next picture. Oh, there's our cameraman, Mr. Lee Hitter, our Director of Communication Services. And you can kind of see what he's doing there. He's operating the board. And obviously, one of the things, we're going to talk about this in a minute, one of the real important things that you need to get right is the audio. People can kind of put up with crummy video if you've got good audio, but not the inverse. So we've got a decent mixer there, and we've got decent microphones, and it's real important to get that done. And then there's some switching equipment, and then we've got kind of an all-in-one box made by Livestream that we use and take advantage of. And I'll talk more about that later on in the show. Whoops. And
now's the time where we tap dance at Channel 6. That's one of our favorite skills. So
exactly. Let me go back into.
All right,
there we go. And there is what the producer sees on his screen. And that is basically a preview view and the live view, so you can kind of see what's coming up. And you've already seen kind of the screen capture capabilities of this particular system. One of the nice things about this Livestream box, very portable. Take it on the road, and I think for churches and schools, that's probably an important thing to consider as well when you're just kind of figuring out its uses. One of those uses might take you to different locations, whether that's a sermon, a Bible study, a sporting event, those kinds of things. So you can't really be locked into kind of a dedicated standalone PC if you've got different venues. Let me go to the other shot. So this is what we're actually looking at. So we see three cameras looking at us, which is kind of disconcerting if you're not used to kind of being in front of a camera. You and I, Sal, are just kind of used to looking at our computer screens,
right.
So this is a little bit different. One thing that you'll notice in this shot is the lighting. Very different than maybe just sitting in front of your webcam. Lighting is extremely important, and you kind of have to think about that when you're doing shots, when you're doing video, is how well lit is the environment. And that may be something that you'd want to take some time and invest in a professional to come in and give you some guidance on lighting, because most of our churches really aren't optimized for video, and you can tell. Certainly fellowship halls and other places where you're going to see Bible classes and, you know, that as well. So there's a little bit closer shot, and then you can kind of see all the wires and all the, you know, the stuff that goes on behind the scenes. So exciting stuff. There are lots of options out there for people to use. And so what I thought we'd do with this show, Sal, is kind of give a top five, three top fives, in fact.
Okay.
So the three top fives that I kind of cooked up are five questions to ask, five things you must do, and five ways to live stream. So those are kind of the lists are kind of big on the internet these days. So I figured, well, let's just do our own list. So these are kind of questions and things that you want to think about if you're going to maybe set up your own studio or think about live streaming services or different events for your location. So let's start with the five questions to ask. Question number one, who is your audience? Sally, you guys went through this when you were at Sleepy Eye.
Mm-hmm.
How did you answer that question? Who is your audience?
Well, actually, we were kind of surprised by the answer, because it turns out when you do live streaming, a lot of people like to tune in. And we had certainly people in our own congregation that appreciated the fact that they could be at church when they weren't feeling up to it or
right.
whatever the circumstances. But then as it turned out, we had people finding us who were shut-ins or whatever from across the synod that were enjoying our services. People connected to our members, maybe they're serving overseas in some capacity
right.
or whatever, and they were able to tune in. We even had one instance where we had a funeral in the congregation, and one of the family members was in Australia and unable to attend. So we just turned the camera on for the funeral, and we're able to connect with that family member in that
right.
way. So you just never know.
Yep, and you've kind of almost answered the next question, why will they watch? Kind of have to create the need. You have to think through what it is you're broadcasting, and is it of interest to that audience that you've identified? So you kind of have to think a little bit strategically about it. Don't just stream stuff and then hope that somebody's going to tune in, because that's really not always going to be
the always.
Case.
If you build it, they will come.
Right,
huh?
Exactly.
Okay.
Yep. Like anything else, right?
Mm-hmm.
Question number three is, what is the content? And you have to think about, I think you have to think about this similar to the way you think about a website. So you're not just kind of throwing everything at the kitchen sink, but you're kind of being very intentional about what it is that we have that could be broadcastable, if that's a word.
Mm-hmm.
So you're trying to figure out, you know, do we do the sermon? Do we do a service, a whole service? Do we do a Bible class or a series? Do we do a choral event of some sort? All kinds of content. And we're kind of in the content business as churches and schools. We're creating content all the time.
Yeah, and you don't want it to be just kind of a flash in the pan kind of thing either. You need it to be consistent and
yeah.
ongoing and have a life to it. So, you know, it's great to have confirmation service streamed or whatever it is, that big event that a lot of people are interested in tuning in for, but it's also great to have your regular events so
yep.
that you build that consistency in that audience.
Yeah. And that goes back to the audience question too, and the why. Is it just to kind of extend your congregation, you know, get the grandparents to, you know, view the, you know, the confirmations or whatever, or is it an outreach tool as well?
Mm-hmm.
So that will kind of dictate what your content is. So that's
sure.
the who, why, what. The when is, you know, do you do it live? Because you can do it live like we're doing now, or you can archive it, you know, record it and have people play it later over and over and over again. And, you know, those are valid questions. So if people that are likely to watch your stream aren't necessarily going to tune in at 10 o'clock on Sunday morning or 7 o'clock at night or whenever it is, then that might suggest maybe you don't really need to live stream because there are some costs with that.
Right, and I think you also need to consider the whole copyright spectrum with archiving online especially, but even with live streaming. So
yep.
There's some questions around that as yep. well.
So who, why, what, when, and then I finish up with another who. Who will own it? And when I say who's going to own it, who's going to invest the time, be passionate about keeping this thing going, keep the equipment up, you know, look at the content schedule, take the care that's needed to put up lighting, take care of the audio, video, and that's a real hard one.
Yeah, I'm a veteran of a few podcasts, and I'd say that's probably the hardest question on here is, you know, really having someone that's that dedicated to invest the time and keep it going and have standards, not just slack off after a period of time or whatever.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So that's the five questions to ask. Then I came up with five things you really need to do, you kind of must do things. Number one, I already mentioned, nail the audio. You really have to pay attention to getting good, clean audio through the system. And you know, if you're going to cut budgets, cut corners, don't do it there. There might be other places. So
yeah, and good point there is I know a lot of people can do live streaming like from their mobile devices or whatever. I mean, there's lots of different options. But even if you're using a simple device or a simple system, you can perhaps get feeds from your regular audio system and things, not just pick up the ambient sound that's around and stuff like that.
Yep.
So
yep.
Yeah, definitely.
Similarly, get smart about lighting. When I say get smart, it's an art, really, and a science. You have to kind of understand the dynamics of, you know, light and angles and different kinds of light, soft light, warm light, cooler lights, fluorescent lights, you know, not optimal here sometimes. And so you have to kind of account for that with different angles and different, maybe even camera settings. So lighting is extremely important. Number three, have a workable budget. Don't expect to spend $0. You know, this is probably not a place where you can get away with, you know, just doing this totally free and come out with a consistent quality product. So you need to put some money in there. What kind of money you put in there is really going to depend on
what
kind of level you want,
sure.
Right?
Sure. Yeah. Sure, you can do it for different levels, for sure. You can start small and you could add equipment over time, but definitely know that there is some dollars behind it.
You know what I've found, Sally, maybe you have too, there are people within the congregation who have a heart for this kind of stuff. So there could be special donations, people mm-hmm. that you know, give specifically to a fund for it. So that might be an opportunity to explore as well. That's kind of what happened with our original equipment here in the Synod office. We had a coworker whose mother-in-law was really mm-hmm. passionate about, you know, sharing the gospel and getting the word
wow.
out and really funded our first round of equipment.
Awesome. I know in Sleepy Eye we had a member who was really into audio and, you know, like did bands, audio and things like that, had mixer boards and speaker systems and things like that. So it was a natural fit mm-hmm. to involve him when we were ready to do video
use
work as well.
Both a passion and a skill set.
Exactly.
Yeah. Nice.
Yep.
Number four. Learn basic production techniques. So I think we've both seen a lot of times where that stationary camera just is zoomed in right on the pastor in the pulpit, and that's really all you get.
Mm-hmm.
There definitely is some skill that you maybe want to apply, some things that you could learn about trying to, you know, do some switching, you know, camera angles, zooming, panning, those kinds of things that would really add a nice touch and some interest. Rather than kind of the home movie approach, you know, the equipment of today really gives you the ability to do more than just that. So.
And what a great time to want to learn something, because there's tons of online resources. All you need to do is Google it. I think if you headed over to like the B&H photo site, you'd find plenty of video resources and things that you could learn from
yep.
there. So
we've talked about lynda.com in
sure.
the past, and there's just and you can sign up for like a $25 monthly account, and in a month you could really soak up a lot of knowledge about videography.
Mm-hmm,
so.
Definitely.
Number five, things you must do, promote it. Like you say, if you build it, they're not just going to come. You really have to get the word out, and we do it all the time for Wells Tech, and mm-hmm. You know, it's a constant thing. You just have to remind people over and over that we're doing this, that this is available. And all the different marketing channels need to be in play. So you're trying to figure out, you know, do we send a piece of direct mail? Do we send email, website, you know, promo
social media,
social media, all of those things, yeah,
definitely
need to be part of the plan.
Definitely, put on that marketing hat, and you got to tell them multiple times. It's not just, I did
ways,
it,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
You can't check it off your list. It's ongoing.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And then last, a quick category, 5 ways to live stream, and this is just 5 that I'm aware of and have some connection with, but there are many, but mm-hmm. These are kind of the mainstream ones. Live stream, which we've already mentioned. Maybe some folks are thinking, well, what is the cost for kind of a high-end tool like
sure.
this? And there are lots of multi-viewer really professional live streams out there using live stream. And we've got a nice deal going with Livestream for our church body, that if any church wants to latch on, or school, $1,000 a year. That may sound like a lot, but that gives you ad-free, unlimited storage, all the tools that are necessary, kind of a nice setup for $1,000 a year.
And that's not their normal pricing. That's like kind of an association pricing.
Yep.
Or whatever,
so normally I think that one's like $3,500.
Wow.
So it's a pretty deep
it
discount
is.
For
yeah,
us.
Yeah,
so.
Definitely.
And we've got, I don't know, maybe a dozen organizations taking advantage of
excellent.
It, including Luther Prep and Martin Luther College
yep.
is using it. Yeah,
definitely.
They've got 2 channels that they use. So.
Mm-hmm.
YouTube and Google Hangout, we'll put those 2 together as 2 and 3. And those are free, mm-hmm. but they come with limitations. You know, YouTube is going to give you the ad, the ad thing, and you have limited control over the experience. And Google Hangouts is not really meant as much for live streaming. It's more meant for kind of the back and forth and the video
chat,
conferencing. Right.
Sure.
Yep. The next one, 4, streamingchurch.tv. I was out at one of our churches in Idaho last month, and mm-hmm. we talked about it on the show, and this is what they're using. A little bit more expensive, about $1,200 a year, but really kind of a custom package for churches. So you don't have to kind of figure out how this best fits. They have different tools that you can put in place, and all the same features. And I don't think it's unlimited storage, but it's a nice package. So streamingchurch.tv. Not to mention they've got a lot of these resources about how a church can get into it,
awesome.
Pretty easily. So,
mm-hmm.
and then the last one, Finalweb,
has
a streaming surface, and you're very familiar with that.
Yeah.
There are some different pricing levels, and I tried to kind of pick the package that would fit, what a lot of our churches would do, and their packages are based on hours streamed, I think. So mm-hmm. 250, 500, or maybe viewer hours, I think they
correct.
Call it. Yeah. And I think for their mid-tier package, it comes out to about $400 a year or so.
Much
what was your experience
affordable?
With that?
Yeah, I think it's a pretty flexible tool. You mentioned MLC has 2 channels. With Finalweb, you can have multiple channels, and that's all part of the same package.
Right.
So that's really nice. So if you need to stream a service and at the same time there's a school event you want to stream, you just set up a separate channel for that. So that's kind of an advantage there. And again, you can get into the streaming space, streaming from an iPad, for instance. So it can be a very affordable way to get started with streaming and build from there.
Yep.
And certainly it can support, cameras, input, and things like that as well.
Yep. For those of you not familiar with Finalweb, that's the Synod's partner for web hosting. That's how we got started with them. Now they're offering different things. Streaming was one. Now they're mm-hmm. starting to come out with mobile apps, those
mm-hmm.
kinds of things. So they've been a really solid partner. And Sally, I know you work pretty closely with them to try and get the mobile stuff to work, the iPad to work. And mm-hmm. it's a pretty slick system. If you already have Finalweb, you just need to go, I think, into your site manager, and there's a link there for live streaming and a way to get
yep.
an account. It's a pretty simple setup.
You can even try it for free for a couple of weeks
yep.
as well.
Yep.
And that's a great lead-in to talk about Wells Tech Conference, Martin, because our friend Brian Schaefer, who I've never met face-to-face, he's traveling to Wisconsin to be with us for Wells Tech Conference coming up July 9th through 11th here in beautiful Waukesha, Wisconsin. Brian's going to be here. I'm going to do a full day of pre-conference Finalweb training. Brian's going to lead some breakout sessions for us, and So you final webbers out there, great chance for you to get some new knowledge about the system.
Yeah, the website, wells.net/wellstechconf is the website. You see that there will be a register now button there. June 1st is the registration deadline. Lots of stuff there, I think, that would serve anybody that maybe is in responsible for anything technology within a church or school or an organization. So.
Yeah, it kind of actually boggles the mind when you look at our schedule of presentations. We have actually 100 different presentations going on over the 2 days of the conference. So I do think there is something for everyone in all types of ministry technology situations. We recently wrapped up a Rafflecopter raffle. Gave away a $25 gift card as we helped to promote the Wells Tech Conference, and we want to do a shout out to Pastor Nate Wagenknecht down in Houston, who won our gift card, and he will be at Wells Tech Conference. Come and hear his presentation on outreach and using online tools for outreach.
Yep. Let's move on to our next segment, which is news in tech. News in tech, that a little piece of news in tech that caught my eye this week, Sally, was maybe something that, I don't know if it's ready for prime time, but it sounds like it might have application for our teachers, and that's a Chrome plugin called Google Tone. And I've got a Fortune article on screen here. The headline of their article is, "This is the most annoying thing Google's ever made." So what it is a way for your browser and your computer to emit a series of tones, beeps, whatever, that other computers who also have the plugin or extension installed can listen to, and they will be you'll be able to send a link to the website, whatever website you're on. So in a classroom, I would envision, you know, the teacher playing the tone, and then all the students who have the plugin install would be able to click and go right to the website,
magically,
whatever website the teacher wants them to be on. So I don't know if you can hear this, but I'm going to play it.
R2D2.
Yeah. Now we tried it here in the studio and it's not working. I did it at home and it worked fine, so I don't know what the range is. It would have to be pretty loud, I think, probably to broadcast throughout the classroom. Maybe it's better in smaller groups, but I can see that there's application for this as well. So.
I can too, as a computer lab teacher. I
yeah.
can tell you probably the most difficult
type
struggle
not down there in the search,
exactly.
No, up at the top.
And
yeah.
the non-readers that you're trying to just get your early childhood students to a certain web page where you have activities or whatever. I kind of went to build a website and put links on the website and tell them to click on a picture, you know, like I'd have an icon for everything, mm-hmm. because it was really hard and we spent more time struggling to get where we wanted to be. So this could be a huge advantage, I would think, especially as you have more and more you know, Chromebooks in the classroom and things like that, where your students
where
are
you have an environment that you control
using.
Right,
sure.
Exactly. So we'll see where that goes. That just came out this past week. Like I said, it did work. I've tried it a number of times, but we'll see where it goes. We already mentioned the Wells Tech Conference under our Wells Now section, but there was one other item that I wanted to share, and that is just a reminder, one of the most popular features, I think, on wells.net is our Q&A. There's usually a featured question that sits there, but a lot of people, I think, just come to the website for the Q&A, because mm-hmm. there's lots of intriguing questions that are asked and answered on baptism, death, divorce, fellowship, God, heaven, hell, law, gospel, marriage, Martin Luther, parenting, prayer, relationships. And over the years, we have just fielded thousands and thousands of questions. And right now, we have Pastor Nathan Pope. Is it Nathan Pope? James Pope. Yeah,
yep.
There's a
Jim.
Nathan Pope in this sentence somewhere, too. James Pope at Martin Luther College mm-hmm. that takes a lot of these questions and just does a tremendous job with
Absolutely.
Answering them. We don't answer every question, but if you're doing any kind of work in Bible study or whatever, the chances are that some of these tough questions are have already been asked or answered. So
yeah, I love to do presentations about the Wells website, and I always start here. I call it the treasure chest because it is. And there's an archive right there. You can search and find whatever you're looking for. So we may not answer them all now, but they've been answered in the past. A lot of great detail there.
So that's the Wells Q&A on wells.net. Mm-hmm. Let's move on to our picks of the week, Sally.
And I actually brought along Show and Tell, my pick of the week. It's a Grid-It.
Look at that.
So this is actually not fully loaded right now, but it's a tool that'll allow you, especially when you're traveling or packing your computer bag, to easily pack all the devices. You just slide them under the different areas in the grid, and it holds them firmly. It's got some rubberized stuff on these different, I don't know what you'd even call those, the weaving that's there, and it holds them really firmly in place, and you don't have to worry about all your stuff. You pull out one thing and you have all of your goodies there. That was a special gift for my 50th birthday from my friend Martin here, and so definitely.
And I'm a believer, and I've got one.
You
I
do.
I bought one a couple of years back.
Yeah,
because I was just really struggling. You throw everything in the bag and everything gets tangled, and you're looking for stuff, but it's all over the place. This just makes it real easy.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So we'll have a link in the show notes. We have a website we can point you to learn more about Grid-It. And I'm a believer.
Yeah, and not that expensive. Not that you weren't worth more than I spent, but but I felt that this was a fantastic product. So I really like it.
Big fan.
Get different colors too. I've got a black one. You've got the blue one.
Yeah.
But there's red and yellow and all kinds of stuff.
Lots of options.
All right, my pick of the week is from Biblia.com, and we'll reference Biblia.com in some listener feedback on the back end of the show, but I've been a big fan of some of their plugins as well. They've got a series of plugins that I think are really useful for webmasters who are trying to figure out how to get fresh content on the page, biblical content, and we've talked about a couple of these in the past. RefTagger, I know we've
mm-hmm.
talked about, which
great
tool. Basically will search your web page and figure out what reference the Bible passage is, and then create a hyperlink for you. And then you can hover over it; it'll pop it up, or you can click on it and go right to Biblia.com and look at the Bible passage itself. So. Makes it easy if you do a lot of references for Bible passages to go right to them. But they've got other ones too. They've got verse of the day, and not just kind of your run-of-the-mill verse of the day. They've done some very nice graphics that go along with the verse of the day so that you can plug this in, and it really looks like an image where the words, they've got kind of word art a little bit
nice.
Better way. So you can kind of see some of the samples here, and you can kind of pick what style you want, and just a nice attention-grabbing, it's not just words, but it's words and pictures for your verse of the day.
Sounds like something worthy of Pinterest. That's right up my alley.
Yep. And then there are about three or four others. There's a quote builder, a Bible search box, Bible search results, and a whole embedded Bible where you could actually put the Bible right on your website.
Awesome.
So.
Great
and
tools.
These are all free, and I wouldn't say they're particularly hard to use. They have the embed code right there, so you just kind of know how to do embed mm-hmm. code, and away you go.
And do you get to select the version of the Bible that you want displayed?
Yep, as all the ones that they provide. Now, they don't have the 1984 NIV, and we've talked about that in the past,
mm-hmm.
but you do have the current NIV and then ESV and some other translations.
Excellent.
King James, etc.
Great find.
Yep. All right. Let's move on to what is our next segment? There,
I think
Sally?
We'll do community feedback
let's
next.
Let's do
what
community
do you
feedback.
All right. And I'm going to start with a comment we received from Pastor Paul Stratman from St. Stephen's in Beaver Dam, and really appreciated the email we received from Pastor Stratman. He said, a few years ago, I read a Wells Tech article about social media, and I began using RSS Graffiti, which was a recommended service.
Yep.
You'll remember that, Martin.
I think we've talked about that on the show.
Yeah,
even.
It was an easy way to get RSS feeds onto your Facebook page. So, if you had a Facebook
little effort,
page,
I mean, you set it up once.
Right.
It
they just showed up
looked
there.
Out, said, oh, you got something new on your website or whatever. I'm going to push it to Facebook.
Exactly. Yeah. And news to me, he says as of April 30th, RSS Graffiti is no more. Right. I did not know that. They shut down. So he did some searching and he found Deliverate. I think I have it on my computer screen here.
It's that a funny spelling too.
I kind of get this one though. Yeah, DLVR, deliver.it, okay. Deliverate. And I'll just go back to reading then what he had to say. He said after he found that, it's nearly an identical service. The only problem is you have to do some manual setup to get the full content of the post. But he does bring in Bible Gateway's verse of the day, What About Jesus devotion, so the daily devotion from Wells. He found that his WordPress blogs, he can just tell them to post to Facebook. And there's some automation around that if you're using WordPress. And then he said he also discovered Biblia's nice verse of the day graphics, which Martin was just talking about. So his page, his Facebook page, actually has two verses of the day, and one of them's in an image format. So pretty cool stuff to have Deliverate do all that for you. If you are managing a Facebook page and RSS Graffiti was your go-to tool, maybe you want to check out Deliverate.
Yeah, I'm just looking at the pricing page here. He didn't mention if there was a cost, so I looked that up. For free, you get 5 feeds, 3 social pages, and profiles.
That's a pretty good amount.
And then they check your feeds every 30 minutes. If you want to go to the pro, that'll give you 10, and then 50 feeds.
Wow.
So you get a few more features. But I think for most of our uses, probably the free would work pretty well. Yeah.
Can't imagine we'd have a lot more than that.
Right.
All right. Next up, we heard from Rachel Feld, and she too wrote us an email just in time for today's show. Came in this afternoon talking about permissionclick.com. It's a website that automates the whole permission slip process for schools. So you can go over to permissionclick.com, create an account, and get moving with it. They have an overview video you can watch there. You create your permission slip online. It can go through an approval process, so you can have administrators look over your permission slip if you want. Parents can actually digitally approve, give their permission, and even pay if there's a fee for the event that the students will be attending or whatever. So taking the worry out of all of that paper and process and making sure everyone's done it, looks like it'll follow up on, with them and things like that. Looks like a great tool. We'd love to hear from any of our listeners out there who have experience with permissionclick.com. Rachel's saying she's wanting to check it out, but she hasn't tried it yet. So if you have, we'd like to hear that experience.
Looks very cool. Kind of made to order for, I think, a lot of our applications in our schools.
Mm-hmm. Then we have a few links to share, starting with one from Jason Winjet. This article is titled The Plot to Kill the Password, and it's talking about how passwords may be a thing of the past very soon in our lives. We might go to more fingerprint scanning and fobs and things like that to get logged in. I know a lot of people really struggle with passwords, Martin, and so it looks like Google's getting behind some of these efforts, and once Google's behind things, a lot of times that is the way things move. Yep. So we'll wait and see what happens with passwords and easing that burden on folks.
Microsoft is doing stuff like that too, with biometric scanning and those kinds of things. I tried Windows 10 last month, and one of the features they have built into now Windows 10, if your computer supports it, is the ability to just use a passcode. And so you don't need a full-blown password. It's more like a PIN. It can be shorter, easier to remember, and it kind of sticks with your device, so you don't use it, you know, in any place other than on the computer that you're on.
Oh.
So you have to know the password. You have to be on the device. So I think there's good things coming as far as trying to do away with those passwords, which I think would do everybody a favor.
My boy's favorite Star Trek scene is when Scotty picks up the mouse and says, computer, you know what I'm talking about? Yeah, he's like, what is this? Is this the microphone? Yeah.
Yep.
So, coming, just hold on, Trekkies. All right, then I actually tagged a few more articles in DIGO, and the first one I want to point to, I found a help about this. It has to do with your Chrome settings when you turn on Inspect Element, which shows in the right-click menu. So when you have Inspect Element on, there's an icon here. It's right next to the little search type icon. It looks like a mobile device, and when you click on that, you get a mobile device emulator. And you knew this. I was going to surprise you. You're nodding your head. You know this stuff. So here we are. We can emulate any different mobile device that's out there, basically, and check out what our website would look like on a mobile device. So if you're concerned about your website being mobile friendly, want to triple check, looks like this website would not look very good on a BlackBerry, for instance. It's rolling off the screen there. So BlackBerry doesn't deal well with this. So it has a lot of the major footprints of mobile devices that are popular in the market these days. And you can actually see whether your website is mobile friendly on those devices. So again, I'm going to turn off the inspect element is the command. It's in the right-click menu. So you right-click on any web page, select Inspect Element. This is in Google Chrome browser. And then you click the mobile icon that's here next to the search icon. And there you have it, a mobile emulator.
Cool. Yeah, maybe a year or so ago, I talked about a product called Ripple that's a plugin that does essentially the same thing. I like this one better because you have more control over it. Once you turn Ripple on, it's hard to kind of turn it off. So it kind of wants to mobilize every site that you go to. This is at your control. And you know, those that are doing any kind of coding, you know, are going to be familiar with Inspect Element because that'll let you see, you know, the code behind the scenes as
sure.
well. So,
sure.
Yeah, and everybody really ought to do this, to take the time and see what your website looks like on mobile, because that's where those numbers are really headed.
Absolutely.
You're going to see fewer and fewer people, you know, looking at websites like we are now on our laptop screens, and they're going to be looking at them, their tablets, phones, whatever. So you need to pay attention to that. It needs to be a good experience, or they're gonna write it off and go someplace else.
Yep, very true. All right, next up, I tagged this in DIGO, but I actually got this from our friend Jason Schmidt. It's a new program from Apple where they will recycle schools' electronic equipment for free. And it's a short-term window. You have to sign up from May 14th through October 2nd. And get them your stuff, and they will recycle for free. They have an online form for you to fill out to be a part of the program. Certainly worth a mention for educational institutions. I know personally I often do recycling at Best Buy because they'll take like two things per day from individuals that just walk in with these big, huge monitors or whatever it is you're trying to get rid of. They'll take those. But this would be on a school or a district level, you can imagine the amount of equipment that might be generated, a really great opportunity from Apple to recycle that
stuff.
So it's
not just Apple products, it's any kind of technology
product. I haven't read that deeply, but I believe that is the case.
Okay, good.
So, yeah, good find, Jason. Thank you. And then one more mention, this came to me from my friend Aaron Spike over at Martin Luther College. First rule of usability, don't listen to the users. Maybe a little tongue-in-cheek here, but a good article to read if you're doing website development. We're in the process at Martin Luther College of revamping our MLC website, and so we're kind of absorbing all this kind of information we get our hands on, and this one has some great information, highly recommended by Aaron Spike.
So if you're not listening to the user, who are you listening
yeah,
to?
Yeah, I think that they're joking there.
Oh,
so
okay.
We'll
just
see.
Checking.
I mean,
they don't know everything.
Yeah.
All right. Sally, what are we going to do next week? I'm not going to be here. It's going to be the solo Sally show.
I'm going to be worried.
You
is what I'm
going to find a friend.
I'm going to phone a friend. I'm going to hang out with my friend Jason Schmidt from Nebraska. Jason and I are going to wrap up the Wells Tech Goes to School series. We have a lot of cool, you know, kind of leftover topics in the education spectrum, things like art and typing and internet research and things like that we're going to point to different apps that are available for students to use. So looking forward to that conversation with Jason next Tuesday afternoon at 4 p.m. Back to the Google Hangout mode, though.
Right. Well, you should should have my wife on, although she'll be with me. So.
Oh, that would be
work.
Like a vacation for her to be on
She'd
the Love Tech
to talk
podcast.
About
her.
Yeah, she would not want to be.
Oh, well. Anytime, Debbie, you can come and join us. Yeah. We'd love it.
All right. Sally, you drummed up a little featured video for the week.
I drummed it up, pulled it out of my bag
last,
of tricks.
Last minute save.
Yeah, and this is a personal one here. It's a YouTube video done by a group called the Vine Brothers. They are performing a song called Sing, 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 and they are just a trio of musicians. It's all acoustic and happens to feature my niece's fiance, Garrett Jones, down in Arkansas. This was a live performance at the University of Arkansas.
It's bluegrass.
It is bluegrass, and it's awesome. They just really rock it, and I think you guys will enjoy it. Just a little plus from
Sing, Sing, Sing from the Vine Brothers.
The Vine Brothers, that's right.
Nice. All right, Sally, I think that's going to do it. Again, show notes are at wellstech.wells.net. If you'd like to contribute to the show, wellstech@wells.net. All kinds of ways to contribute via social media. Mm-hmm. Sally mentioned Digo, Pinterest, Twitter, Facebook. The listserv is a great way to not just talk to us, but talk to
hundreds
of other
knowledgeable people.
People with the answers are on the Wells Tech listserv. So good opportunity there. And I'm looking forward to meeting a number of those people. I know that a number of them have already signed up for the Wells Tech.
That's right. So. And if you haven't, you should. Wells.net/WellsTechConf.
It's running out. It's a great bargain. We'll be there, and we'll be doing our 400th episode.
It's a party.
From the show floor there.
That's
so.
Right.
Sally, thanks for being here.
Yes,
blessings
sir.
On your work this week with the Christian Giving Counselors.
Thank
glad
you.
Glad you're here. And glad you're here, everybody. We'll talk to you next week.